Friday comes around quickly, doesn't it? Hello and welcome to a podcast from the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose. So it's Friday, although it's not really. A little peek behind the curtain will reveal that I'm recording this before Friday, but it will go up on a Friday. So as I write this, we have been in lockdown here in New Zealand for just over 2 weeks. Numbers of new cases have been decreasing, and still only one death, and currently 12 in hospital. So the situation in New Zealand is stabilising, and whilst there is still a way to go, I am grateful we're not experiencing the same numbers as the USA and the UK. Again, my thoughts are with all our friends, family and colleagues around the world. So on the podcast front, I'm sure you can appreciate that it is not the best time to be chasing people to appear on the podcast. So whilst there are a few irons in the fire, so to speak, recordings will be done as and when people have the time and crossover availability with myself. Hopefully we will have a couple of talks coming out next week, so stay frosty. As for doing the educational bites, those will restart at some point, probably after the lockdown is eased. They take quite a bit of planning and checking, and to be honest, since the lockdown, routines have changed to such a degree, the rhythm of producing a podcast every week has changed. So a more freestyle chat is certainly an easier way to record a podcast, but it also feels more appropriate at this time. So to start, if we keep things a little clinical, I hope all our New Zealand urgent care listeners have been appreciating the information coming out to them from our pandemic response committee. These regular emails have been keeping us all up to date with latest guidance on PPE and testing, as well as reassuring us all that the college has been doing whatever it can to help clinics at this time. The website also has lots of information, and the college forums are proving a great closed platform for discussion and sharing of ideas. I would encourage you all to make sure that you're keeping up to speed with this information, along with the Ministry of Health information, as things do change quickly. Preventing community spread through our clinics, while still being a vital face-to-face service for our patients and keeping ourselves safe, has been a delicate bridge to navigate. But from everything I have seen and heard, it seems like the urgent care community here in New Zealand has stepped up, found solutions, and are continuing to be there for our patients. So well done to everyone. Now, as I have mentioned them before on the podcast, I don't want people to think that I spend all my time listening to the former Mythbuster Adam Savage, but I have long been a fan of his, even dragging my wife to front row tickets for his stadium event he put on in Auckland a few years ago, and his podcasts are on my regular rotation. Indeed, he was one of the inspirations for me getting started on this podcast. But this week, I heard him say something that I thought was worth sharing with you all, as it is a bit of semantics that could actually help with the collective mental health at this time. We will hear the phrase social distancing regularly. And what Adam, amongst others, has suggested is using the phrase physical distancing. Now, when I think about it, I think he has made a great point here. This virus is spread by the physical spread of saliva and mucus, and as such, distancing yourself from other people is the best protection. Now, granted, socialising is a huge risk for having physical spread, but when you use the term social distancing, it does come with the underlying inference that being social is inherently a problem. As lockdowns drag on, mental well-being is going to be affected for some. But socialising in 2020 need not be a physical activity. We can socialise via the telephone and video conferencing. We should probably be encouraging people to socialise in any way they can, whilst keeping a physical distance. So maybe the message of physical distancing better conveys this. It's certainly food for thought. Now, I have mentioned online video games before as a means of socialising with friends and family around the world. and the way it can be used to replace more traditional sports in this time of lockdown. So I would suggest any motorsport fans check out the F1 YouTube page, where you can see virtual Grand Prix being raced by current drivers, some old-timers like former world champion Jenson Button, some esports stars, and even England cricketer Ben Stokes. Whilst not the same as the real thing, it is still quite compelling. And for a change of pace, but with no loss of competitiveness, all the world's chess tour matches are being played using online chess software, with the players safely tucked away at home. I would certainly suggest anyone lost for something to do at this time could do a lot worse than learn the wonderful game of chess, and there are many online platforms on which you can learn, play against a computer, or even play against a human on the other side of the world. But despite being able to watch these matches and socialising with friends on Skype, being in lockdown is still tough on people's mental health and well-being. So who better to ask about coping in isolation than former ISS commander and all-round living legend Chris Hadfield? He has posted a couple of videos to his YouTube where he talks about how people can use similar techniques that kept his mind focused on the International Space Station to keep their own isolation experience productive and healthy. Chris is one of those people the world needs in situations like this, so you should have a listen to his wise words. And now is the perfect time to read his book, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth, if you've not already. Now, despite people needing to keep their distance from one another, it is still necessary for some of us to be out there working. The essential work that is going on in hospitals, clinics, first responders, supermarkets, delivery drivers, and so on, is what is keeping countries ticking over. But despite all the great work being done by so many, there are still vulnerable people who are not able to get out and get provisions, who might not have family support, and so on. Well, in St Helens, in the northwest of England, there is a scheme that has been set up where volunteers are making food and medicine drops to vulnerable individuals. And this project has garnered support from Johnny Vegas, who has been getting involved and has been getting his local rugby league team to help. Now, for those of you who do not know about Johnny Vegas, in addition to stand-up comedy, he has been a regular on various comedy panel shows in the UK, often accompanied by a pint of Guinness, but also he's acted in various films and TV shows, such as Benidorm. But I only became aware of Johnny's actions with this project when he got a personal shout-out by an unlikely Hollywood star. It turns out that Kiwi Academy Award winner Russell Crowe is best mates with Johnny Vegas, and he produced a video calling for people to get behind the project and support Johnny. So who knew that Russell and Johnny were best mates? But they are both rugby league mad, so there is that. But this is another great example of the good people can do for their community in times like this. And talking of doing good, I was saddened to receive an urgent appeal for money from the SPCA here in New Zealand. On top of all the human hardship this virus is causing, it seems that animal charities are also suffering, and the extension of that will be that animals will suffer. If you're in a position to help, please do so by going to their website. Whilst restricted to home, my cat has been a wonderful companion, seemingly oblivious to the world's woes. Cats are an exemplar of how we all need to behave during this pandemic. Fastidiously wash your hands, avoid socialising outside of a very small personal bubble, and do your utmost to avoid all people all of the time. And finally, talking of being at home more, we are all no doubt getting used to more home-cooked food. Without the option of cafes, restaurants, or takeaways, and with supermarkets no longer a convenience, being more frugal in the kitchen and using your pantry supplies is probably a common theme for everyone at the moment. And so I found myself asking the question, what is couscous? I've long been a fan of couscous. It's easy to prepare, can be mixed with all kinds of things to make a meal, and my go-to quick meal of wraps must contain hot chili sauce, cheese, and couscous as a very bare minimum. But it occurred to me that I had no idea where it came from. So I checked. There are various different types of couscous from various parts of the world, but the pre-steamed and dried version most of us buy in boxes in the supermarket is made from semolina. Semolina is the coarse middle of the durum wheat. Traditionally, this part resisted grinding by mills, so it got rolled into little pellets and dried in the sun. This laborious process is now done by machines, and most couscous we buy has been pre-steamed and dried, so it just needs a little hot liquid to wake it up. So there you have it, the things you learn. So like I said at the start, normal, traditionally educational podcasts will return at some stage. Having committed to a Friday upload each week, I refuse to let that trend slip if I can. So if listening to me talk about random pandemic-related things is not your thing, well, you're not forced to listen. But more educational content will return, I promise. But for now, keep safe, keep as distant as you can, and try and channel your inner cat whilst you look after your own personal space station. Thanks for listening.